We're talking about where did you learn English?
We had, my father had a cousin who, during the First World War, was an interpreter in England. He was taken prisoner, and he learned English, and then he became an interpreter, and he spoke English very well, and he gave lessons, and that's what I did. I took lessons. I thought I knew a lot of English until I got here. I knew enough to perhaps ask directions and ask the rudiments.
I think that we explored your feelings pretty well along the way. It was obvious that a young girl traveling alone like this, it had to be terrifying. I think that you've told us a lot about your feelings. Earlier when we talked about your parents, you said that you had told us that your father had been in Dachau, but actually
that was a mistake. Yeah, he was in Buchenwald.
And how long was he there?
A month.
When he came back from there, do you remember how he was?
He was in
physically, psychologically.
He was in a terrible condition. I think people were beaten, only didn't talk about it. And I think it just was a foretaste of what was to follow later on. I remember when he came back, I do believe I told you that our house was pretty much destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of put together, and he came back, and I was cleaning the kitchen floor, I remember, and in walked this old man. And I realized it was my father, who had aged in 4 weeks so much I couldn't believe it. He came and he saw me, he fell into each other's arms, and he cried uncontrollably. And his hands were shaking. And I think he had an injury during First World War of his hands. And this came back, this shaking of hands from this experience. And then we surely knew we had to get out after that. That there was no question about it.
Okay.
I realize something, though, that being that you were born in Germany and your father fought for Germany, even seeing that the German is changing and the persecution of the Jews is becoming the thing, and in spite of that fear, somehow you felt very much German. You had fear, you had indicated fears, but at the same time you still felt that as a German you have certain rights.
We felt that Hitler was a passing
temporary.
He was temporarily on the scene. Mm-hmm. You know, we just could not possibly imagine what was going to happen. But it became clear when my father came back, long even before that.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling about being German first is always something that German Jews have been accused of, being German first.
Why do you think that is?
I think that people who, you ask an American Jew, what is he first? Especially when it comes to dual loyalty to Israel. People make sure that they say that they're Americans first and then Jewish. Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps that's how they felt. You know, I had no political feelings at that age. My family was not so educated as we are now. They were simple people living in a small town, trying to make a living and having some interchange with the people there, but no social life with the people. But there was always separation. Jewish, as long as I can remember, I don't remember that we ever had people over to dinner or anything, non-Jewish people from the town, except if they came on business and bought something, then we offered them refreshments, but not in a social context, never. So we were isolated anyway. Maybe people in the cities felt differently.
Being the oldest in your family, you were fairly close with your other children, with your siblings.
I have one sister.
One sister. And did you have a feeling of how she felt at those times? Did you, do you remember? Do you remember anything that
no,
she was saying at those times?
No, because she did not have that. She went to a Jewish school.
Mm-hmm.
We sent her to the same man from whom I took English lessons. He also taught Jewish, taught, he had his own little Jewish school in a town away. And we sent her there. So she was not exposed to as much hatred as I was. I remember that she didn't like going away from home. She was always happy to come home, and when we talked to each other, she was 11 when I left, so she was much younger before
mm-hmm.
that. So mm-hmm. we would not, we talk as children do. We were afraid. She was terribly upset when I left. And I still have a few letters from her.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get the letters in here?
Still. The last, in 1940, 41.
That's it.
The last time I heard from, the last message, I don't know if I mentioned that before, the last message I got from my parents in 1942 through the Red Cross for my birthday, I think I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm, I think you did.
Yeah.
I think you did.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did. Well, I think that that almost covers the trip very well, and I think it's very interesting. The one thing, I wonder how you feel, when you first came here, obviously, you're priorities were to acclimate yourself to the American society. And after the war, especially in recent years, there's been an awful lot of talk about Holocaust and Holocaust survivors. Have you, how do you feel about that personally? Do you feel that you are a survivor? How do you feel about all the publicity about the Holocaust? And
well,
how do you yourself fit into that?
I'm certainly glad that after so many years people came forward to talk about their experiences, which they were not able to do before. I myself do not consider myself a survivor. And I have discussed this many times with people who are who I consider survivors. I feel it is in a disservice to the people who've been in the camps and have gone through so much more than I have, that I would not call myself a survivor. I don't know what word I have for my experience. I'm a survivor of the Hitler era, maybe, but not the, what we understand as survivors. And my husband feels the same way. We just feel it's wrong. Although people keep telling us, you are. I cannot do that. For instance, the survivors have meetings. They meet once a year or whatever. And they see old friends, I would feel very out of place there, because what they have gone through, I cannot share with, they cannot share with me, and I cannot share with them. So it's wrong of me to want to be part of that. I'm glad this all is coming up, because it has to. If you don't remember that part now, after us, who's going to remember it? You know?
Do you think that it's important, though, even though you feel that you're not a Holocaust survivor in that same sense, do you feel that it's important for you to share your story, because there's a certain, you can make people aware of what can happen?
That's true. Yes, I can tell people who have had no experiences that, people who've been born here. Yes, I can share that, and I can tell them that, and you can tell them what some of the warning signals are. But my experience pales. I mean, it's just no comparison to what the actual survivors have to say about this.
Do you ever feel that, God forbid, something like that could possibly happen here? That American Jews are so complacent and so comfortable, that, are you ever afraid that something like that could happen here?
Something like what happened? No. I think we go through cycles of anti-Semitism, and it'll come again. Is it Silverman who wrote the book? Mm-hmm. I read the book. It's very optimistic about the American Jews and what they have accomplished, and I agree, but I'm not quite as optimistic as he is.
Very few people are.
You know? You just have to be vigilant, and that's another reason why we have to keep this experience alive, so that it will not happen again. I don't think it will happen again, but that's a good reason. First of all, the first reason is to remember those who suffered and those who are not here anymore in their memory. We have to do this, and also so it won't happen again.
Do you think that through your activities in the South Hills Interfaith Ministry, that you're able to contribute something along those lines?
Oh, yes, definitely.
In what way?
I think more and more people come to the observance and the preparation for the observance. We have Christian people taking part in it. We have a very unusual occurrence here, in that it's an interfaith observance.
The Holocaust. Yom HaShoah.
Yeah. And there are many people who are very sympathetic and who will spread the word, so to speak, of what they have heard about it. There are those people who you can't move. There will always be those people. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is a great change in climate here, out here in the South Hills.
Do you think that your work in the Senior Citizens Agency helps bring that Christian and Jewish community together? Do they know that you're Jewish?
Yeah, I know they're Jewish, and when I was the center director, I told them of my experience of what has happened before. I've asked Marga Randall for a program, and she came and spoke to the senior citizens, and everybody cried with her and with me. And I always feel when you work with people day in and day out, you don't make as much of an impact as if an outsider comes in and tells a story. Mm-hmm. But I would sing to them Hebrew songs, Hanukkah, when they have their Christmas songs, because there are no Jewish senior citizens that come to this for some reason. I'm not aware that there's even maybe one or two in the entire agency. Not staff.
Where is this agency located?
Well, our main office is in Dormont. And we have 9 centers spread out through the South Hills. Mm-hmm. And in these 9 centers, there are no Jewish older people. Isn't that strange? They have not felt at home there.
And there's nothing then for older Jewish people out here in the South Hills?
Oh, yes, there is. I think there is through Council of Jewish Women and through the Federation. I think they have, they meet, I think they used to meet twice a month at Beth El.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one time at Temple Emmanuel, I think it's now at Beth El. I tried to bring in some older Jewish women. I showed a film and I actually chauffeured them to a center so they could watch a film. I had a nature film of some sort. They did not feel at home. Culturally, there's a difference, because most of our people are blue collar. They're not like the senior center in Squirrel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They're blue collar, lower middle class maybe, and they are not as interested like in a book review. They're not interested in a museum. They're interested in playing bingo, maybe seeing a film. Parties are big. Dancing is big.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Jewish ladies just felt that there was a big gap culturally, and I couldn't get them to go.
Mm-hmm.
I tried. Couldn't get them to go. So I don't know how many older Jewish people are in the South Hills now, but I'm sure there are plenty. Because we...
Not as many as there are in Squirrel Hill, obviously.
But when you say
it's a
older,
much younger Jewish community.
People at 60 and over are eligible to join, and at 60 you're not old.
That's right.
You know, you're still young.
Yeah.
I like to think so.
At 60, I think you don't feel the need to go, maybe. But, and you've been with that agency for how long?
Almost 10 years.
Okay, well, it sounds like you enjoy what you do.
I love it. I just really love working with the older people. So it's really very gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I have almost exhausted the questions. The only thing that we didn't cover that's on our questionnaire is your health and your medical care. But you look pretty healthy to me.
You're lucky. Yeah.
Both you and your husband?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're in good health.
We're in good health.
And you're able to do all the things that you want,
that
to,
we
do
want to do
physically and so on.
What worries me is the Reagan administration has always worried me.
In what way?
I think they have sown the seed for dissension among groups. I think we've gone backwards in this administration. All the things that have been achieved in civil rights, caring for one another, is not what it was. It's terrible.
Well, we have another 2 years of that. Do you think it'll change? Do you think the American people will?
I hope so. It depends who comes along, who's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to make it through the primaries, which is such a grueling experience.
We have to be optimistic.
I hope so.